chapter 5, we have been going through this second inspired letter of Paul. Paul had written other letters to this young church, but these two, the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of 2 Corinthians, were inspired of God. What that means is it was God-breathed, where He moved on Paul in such a way that when Paul wrote these letters, it was the eternal, the perfect Word of God. I read something this past week from what I would call a respected institution, and, you know, I don't even agree with everything I say, but let me tell you where I'm at. And I read this, and I'm not going to tell you who, because it's not that important, but you understand, here's what most people believe. Most people think this: the Bible was perfect in its original manuscripts, when it was originally written. And now here's what most will teach today. Then they'll use this, and you won't catch this. They'll say, today the message is perfect, but they don't believe we have the perfect words, the perfect punctuation, as the Bible claims, the perfect jot and tittle, the smallest points of punctuation in Hebrew. So they'll say they have a perfect message, but we don't have the perfect Word of God because we don't have the originals. Well, the Bible doesn't claim that we would have originals. What the Bible claims is that we would have His Word from everlasting to everlasting. We would have it perfectly. You see, I believe this with all my heart, that the text from which our Bibles are translated, the Old Testament Masoretic text, the Hebrew text, is perfect. Not one mistake. The New Testament Greek, it's called the Majority text, the Textus Receptus, is perfect in every way, shape, or form. There's not one error. And we serve a big enough God to do that. You see, I think it's a little bit more complicated, don't you? That there could be error, yet a perfect message. Don't you think it'd been easier for God to say, I'll just make it perfect? And that's what He claims. So I want you to know this. When we go to the Word of God, and see, we are so blessed in the 21st century that if you have a question about, you know, what the Bible might mean or some words, you can just go straight. You can Google it and get to the Greek and Hebrew and see the deeper meanings. And we are so blessed we can just drill down very, very quickly. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew and you can get great meanings. But I want you to know this. This is what we believe and this is what I believe. And so it's that we have the perfect Word of God. Not just a perfect message. It's inerrant. And so, you know, if you have questions, and I believe that, you know, it's the perfect Word of God. So when we say that Paul wrote this letter, it was under the inspiration of God. It was God-breathed, so that God moved, as he says in the book of Peter, that he says that he moved, holy men of God were moved so that when they wrote it, through their personalities, through that what was going on in their hearts at the time, it was the very Word of God. And the Bible tells us that the Bible is eternal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always been, and you know what else? There's one other thing that's always been, His Word. God's Word is from everlasting to everlasting. God's Word never began, just like God never began, just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. His Word is eternal. Now that's something that'll blow your mind. Before God created Adam and Eve, the book of Genesis had always been. That's just, oh wow, that's kind of mind-boggling. Let's let God be God, and let's just study this. So what I love is this. See, this is the difference. I want you to know this. That tons of people think going to church is a waste of time, and tons of people think the Bible is a waste of time. I've thought about all these, so these aren't too much of a hobby horse. I've heard this recently. Someone said this to me recently, and they go, "Well, you know, you just believe that blindly." I want you to know this: that my faith isn't blind faith. Do you understand this? I want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Just listen to this. It says, now faith is the substance. There is substance in my faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we will talk today about some things that we haven't seen. None of us have died and seen heaven. None of us have died and seen the physical Lord Jesus Christ. So there is faith of things we haven't seen. But I want to tell you, my faith in what God tells me in His book is not blind faith. Don't let anyone tell you that. Now yours may be, but there is evidence all over the place. There is substance all over the place. The historical fact of Jesus Christ is, you know, it can't be refuted. It's truth. And then the question is Jesus who he claimed to be, right? And so I want you to have this great confidence that when we open the Bible, it is perfect. It's the only thing we have perfect in this world. And it is unique, and it is special, and what a privilege it is to go to the Word of God. So I always want you to know this. Wow, it's God's Word. That's why we call it that. So the next time someone says, well, it's just written by a bunch of men. No, they were the secretaries, but it was God that moved. Now let's just read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to cover the first 10 verses in this chapter. I'll give you a little review after I read these 10 verses. Will you hang in there with me? And let's read these 10 verses. It says this in verse 1. For we know, he's speaking to the church at Corinth here, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Let me just pause there because a little bit of a language. When he says, he's talking about his body. He's saying the earthly house, right? Because the past 2 weeks we've been talking about the body. We're going to continue talking about this physical body. We're going to talk about that today. So he says, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle, another word for tabernacle is a tent. So he's saying, you know, this earthly house of this tabernacle, this tent, this temporary abode. So just so you know that. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved or died or ended, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, in our bodies we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So I want you to understand the picture Paul's given here. He's saying that if these bodies die, if this earthly house of this tabernacle, of this tent dissolves or dies, he's saying that we desire to be clothed with the house of God from heaven, with the new body. Now, I want you to know this too. This is only for those that are saved. So we'll talk about that. But he's saying, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, the permanent, perfect body. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, or in this tent, this temporary body, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He's saying this, I'm just not looking to get rid of this body. I'm looking forward to the new body that I'm going to get. Now verse 5. He says, now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God. So God's the one behind all this. Who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Earnest is the guarantee. Verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Just a quick review. The past few weeks, what we've looked at, this again, it's going to be about our bodies, but today is encouragement for the believer. That's the title of the message today, encouragement for the believer. So I want you to understand this, that those of you, what I mean by believer is those of you, you say, I have surrendered my life to Christ, I've repented of my sins, I've given Jesus my life, you're still in this tabernacle, this tent, you don't become sinless. Now, there are people that will tell me they're sinless. All I need to do is talk to somebody that knows them. And so, but we still have this body, but our whole desires change, our whole purpose change. So I'm speaking to believers this morning. This text is to believers. This text is for those of you that say, I love Jesus Christ, and it'll be great encouragement. Just a quick review of what we had in chapter 4. It gave us the purpose of our bodies. Look back at chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I want to tell you, the purpose of our bodies. We are so dominated with these bodies. We get sick, we have trouble, and it's real. It's real. You know, I've got a trust in the Lord, right? It's Abby's over in the Philippines, and she's struggling right now, And we have to trust the Lord that my God cares, and there's a purpose behind it all. And you know what I love is I can't do anything about it but take her to the Lord. And I trust the Lord with all of that, right? So look at chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the purpose of our bodies. It says this, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. The treasure is the good news of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in our bodies, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. The purpose of our bodies, for those of us that are believers, is that we would use these bodies, that we would spend ourselves for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. God gave us a body. Remember we talked about that's pretty unique. You understand, the spiritual world, nobody has a body. But when God created mankind, He gave us a body. And then He's going to keep us with a body eternally. We will get a new body one day in eternity, and that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about. But our body here, the one that aches and groans and pains and struggles, the purpose of our bodies is to use it, spend it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want to tell you that, you know, we talked about, you know, what is it all about that last week. Look at verse 18, I think it sums it up. What is life all about? Most people don't understand what life's about. In fact, many Christians, we forget. We get caught up in all the busyness of life, and we forget. But verse 18 says this. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Life is all about the eternal. You see, that's important that we understand this. My body is to be used for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. My life is about eternal things, not temporary things. Now there's four things I want to show you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that will be an encouragement. First thing I want you to see is just look at verse 1. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. First thing is we have the promise of a new body. I do love this. Another word for tabernacle is tents. How many people loved camp? Well, I am not with you. It's a dud, let me tell you. And so you know what I like? I like this. When Paul says, he likens our bodies that are falling apart to a tabernacle or a tent. And I like Paul. Now, Paul was a tent maker. I think he probably made quality tents. But he understands that tents are temporary. And I'm not all for him. I may have told you this, so I'll just tell you real quick. I did have a tent experience once in my life. And you know, I think I camped out in somebody's backyard when I was a kid. You know, you really... But so Deb and I, when we were first married, this is pre-kids, we went on a historical trip, and we went 2,900 miles in 9 days. And so we went to Appomattox State Park, we went to Jamestown, Yorktown, Williamsburg, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Gettysburg, Niagara Falls just a bonus, and then back. It wasn't historical. You're like, what's so historical about Niagara Falls? Nothing. So we did that trip, and we were camping first. You know, I was a finance guy for 25 years before God burdened my heart to pastor. So I loved $4 a night. That's how much it was 30 years ago. You know, when you camped. I don't know how much it is now, but it was $4 a night. And I'm like, $4? Absolutely, I love this. I hate spiders, though, too. You got to understand that. Man. They grow these things in these showers at these campgrounds. It's like, is that fake? And then it moves, and you're like, oh, it's not fake. And but I got used to that. I got used to the, you know, the creep. But so I was camping, and we got really good at it. I think it was the third or fourth night. And so, you know, I could put the tent up, you know, kind of with my eyes closed. And because we were just so busy during the day, we'd put up the tents at night. Well, you know, we were between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, and we camped, and... And I remember these faint words from my father-in-law as we were leaving. He goes, I'm not sure the last time I waterproofed it. We had record rainfall that night. New record, wouldn't you know? That's when I'm camping. And I mean, we were young. And so all we had was we had like pool, little cheapy pool mattresses that we would put a sleeping bag over. But you know, when you're young, who cares? You're fine. You're ready to go. Cheap, you know, $4. And... So I think this was really the case. I think it was floating that night. I mean, it was just dripping through, and you know, after a while you're like, what am I gonna do? And so I was fit to be tied. So the next morning, we put it away, and I said, we're done camping. I've never camped since. That was 27 years ago. And so don't ask me to camp. I know we have father-son outings, but I'm gonna sleep in my van. And, but what I love is I think Paul's aligned with me because he says this. This is important. When I think about this body, I think about a tent, and I'm like, praise the Lord, I get something nicer than this. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that you don't have to stay in this body for the rest of your life, that we're going to get a new one, and that's what that God promises us? And he says this, don't be so dominated about the troubles, about the struggles. We groan in this body. This body's going to cause you problems. It's going to be difficult. Deb, last night, is Deb in here? You know, I do love the musical chairs that we have, so this is so important to me. I want it to be this way forevermore. Nobody has an assigned seat in this church. That's so good, but I don't know where everybody's at, you know, so it's like, where's my wife? So my wife thinks she broke her toe last night. So, you know, you can feel sorry for her, but I said, no, it's not broken. And, the little tabernacle, right? So she was hustling around, running around for your daughter-in-law's wedding shower, and boom, hit the door trim and with her pinky toe, and she just not been hurt that much. So I looked at it and I said, you're fine. But she got x-rays. Have you found out yet? They haven't called. It's not broken. Dr. Hall, I told you, but she's feeling it. You're feeling it. You know, I can joke about it a little bit, but you know, I spoke with Janie Obermeyer yesterday, and it's real. But you know, I love her spirit. I so want Janie Obermeyer to be with us more. She really has an understanding of spiritual things. I mean, when she told me, she said, "Have you ever had a Charlie horse before?" What are you? And I said, I have had a Charlie horse. And but when she described it, she said, well, I have a Charlie horse from my hip down to my foot. And I was thinking, well, I've never had a Charlie horse like that. And she says it happens every day for hours. And, you know, then, you know, you're kind of, this is the tough part of being a pastor. What do you say? You know, you don't say this then. Well, you're getting a new body. Amen. I mean, that is not going to be that encouraging when you're having a Charlie horse from the hip down to your foot. But I just was listening. And then she said, but it's okay. She says, I know that God has a purpose in it. She goes, I don't exactly know what he's doing and what he's teaching me and how he'll receive glory from this. But she goes, I know he will. I was humbled by that. You see, she can't walk the sidewalk right now. Now, her daughter has a wheelchair. Maybe we'll get her here and, you know, be able to wheel her down the sidewalk. But I want people around that are like that because they understand this, that this body is a temporary thing. It's a little tent. It's not going to last forever. But here's the good news. We do get a new body. Be encouraged with that. I want to tell you this. For those that are lost, understand. Here's what the body says. Here's what the Bible says. Every single body will be resurrected. There are two resurrections. The resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto damnation. The resurrection unto life, the Bible teaches, you get a new body. The resurrection unto damnation, you don't get a new body. It's the old one that is given immortality and will be cast into eternal damnation forever. Understand, we believers, we have the confidence that this temporary tabernacle, this temporary tent, isn't lasting forever. Those that die lost, their bodies will be resurrected, I'm convinced, as I study the Bible, with all the struggles, all the problems that they went to the grave with. Now, we can have that debate. I just want to tell you, there's no evidence in the Bible that lost people get a new one. It looks like the old one that's then cast into eternal damnation. So when I tell you this, if you're saved today, and the aches and pains and the struggles, be encouraged, you get a new body. The second thing I want you to see, now this is tougher, verses 2 through 4, it's that we should long for the day. We should long for the day that we get this new body. Look at this, verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So he says, we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So he's saying, we're going to have an eternal body. We're not going to be without a body. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now, I've said we should long for that day, because here's what Paul's saying. If we really grasp this, we look forward to the day we die. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, but I know. I don't want to sound too morbid. I do look forward to the day I die. My greatest reason is that I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I also get a new body. My mother-in-law gets another new knee. a week from Tuesday. So you remember her in prayer. We'll have a special time if you remind me next Sunday so that we just ask the Lord to bless those doctors. And so, you know, she's the bionic woman here pretty soon. Two knees and we're going to get a new brain and just kidding. Yeah, that's just a mother-in-law joke that I'm in trouble for that. I saw, if looks could kill, you'd get a new pastor. I'm just kidding. She really didn't give me a bad look. So, it is, you know, so, but here's the key. I do look forward to dying. But I'm telling you this, before I die, I want to go out sprinting. I want to go out serving the Lord. I know this. The purpose of my body is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I forget that all of the time. The purpose of why I'm here is for eternal things. And I'm not here that long. I'm going to get a new body and I look forward to it. Here's what I believe. The closer we get to Jesus Christ, the more we will look forward to, the more we will groan in these bodies, and the more we'll say, I can't wait till I'm out of here. You know what? I'm telling you, I know this. You want to get married someday? Does her name start with a D? Just kidding. That's a bad joke. He's like, no. So you want to get married someday? Being with Jesus is way better than marriage. And I have a good marriage, right? I mean, I'm the better half of this marriage, you know, but it's a... Just kidding. But marriage is a wonderful thing. You want to have kids one day? How many? I just wanted to see what the experience was. You know, you're from 8, and I just wanted to see if it was a good or bad. You know, if he says 1, that would be feedback. So he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me, right? So, but I'm telling you, getting married is something to look forward to. Having kids is something to look forward to. Living life is something to look forward to. I love this life. I love this life with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, we should love Jesus more, that we're ready to depart. We're ready to go. I believe this. The more attached we get to this world, the less we want to leave it. If we're not ready to leave, I think it means we're too attached. When we get attached to Jesus Christ more, we'll want to be with Him because being with Him is far better than anything here. You see, we get fooled. We think this world has so much to offer. And all of those things are wonderful. They were of God. They were created by God. They were of God. So those are okay. So I'm not picking on those. But Jesus is way better than those. And so I want you, even as a young people, I want you to know this. There is love Christ so much that you are excited that He comes back right now. But if He doesn't, then live life for Jesus Christ. You see, so we should long for that day. Look at your life. Would you rather stay here or would you rather die? Part of it is this. Have you been serving the Lord? Are you ready to meet Jesus? If you died today, first, are you born again? That's the question. Have you truly surrendered your life to Christ? But those of us that are Christians, does Jesus really know you? Do you talk to Him every day? Do you live for Him every day? And this is a challenge for me as well. Am I living my life to where it will be a reunion with Jesus and not an introduction? You see, I don't want to live my life to where I get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. You see, I don't even know if that's a correct statement, right? If you're born again, you get to heaven all based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But there's too many people walking around that claim Jesus Christ, but there's no change, there's no fruits in their life. Challenge yourself here. I know this, and moms, I'll tell this, moms and dads, you have kids. I know that you have a desire to be with your kids, raise your kids, and that's not sin. You want them to have a mom, you want them to have a dad, and that's a wonderful God-given desire. But I want you to challenge this. Jesus will take care of it all. I want you to desire to be with Him more than being here. That's the key. Now the third thing I want that's an encouragement that we see here is look at this. It says this in verse 6. It says in chapter 5. It says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So while we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. That's what Paul says here to them. And he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I told you that earlier, that faith in Jesus Christ is not blind faith. Now I will tell you this. Faith in heaven is something none of us have ever seen. And so when he says here, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We actually, that is the most nervous part, isn't it? How am I going to depart? Right? How am I going to leave this earth? How is it going to be? He says, but being in the body, to be in this body, we're absent from the Lord. But then verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We will be with the Lord. Know this. The reason we should long, the reason we should desire to leave these bodies is we'll be with Jesus. Do you love Jesus so much that you want to be with Him? Or was Jesus just a ticket out of hell? Was Jesus just a religious icon that you heard about Him and you're okay with Jesus, but is Jesus your life? Is Jesus your passion? Is Jesus your master? You see, because He's going to be what eternity is all about. I'm never going to preach in eternity. I thought we'd become an amen church then maybe. Amen, praise the Lord, this is good, you know. Let me tell you, we are going to hear a lot of preaching, and it's going to be Jesus. Every time Jesus spoke, you know, I love telling these stories. This is so good, right? I mean, when Jesus spoke, you remember, I remind you of the story, right? You remember when the Pharisees, they sent the Roman soldiers after Jesus, right? They said, go get them, right? Those are the, you know, I didn't know if they could talk. Go get them. You know, and they were just the dudes you don't mess with. The Roman soldiers, the elite. Let me tell you, these guys you don't mess with. You look at them cross-eyed, they can kill you. They carry the law and the sword. And they said, you go get Jesus. And they paid them big bucks. These guys that would not fail. They go to get Jesus, and they come back to the Pharisees, and they go, where's Jesus? And they said, nobody speaks like Him. That was enough to take the brute force. That was enough to take these guys that said, you know what, nobody speaks like Him, and I ain't messing with that guy. Jesus, what a preacher. Jesus, what a Savior. Jesus loves me. This I know. Don't you love that? Did you wake up this morning and remember that Jesus loves you? Does that just make your day? Did you wake up this morning and realize that there is nothing in you for Jesus to love you, but that Jesus loves you? Is that just enough? And I can't wait to meet Jesus. And I, every day that goes by, do you know this? I used to, and I think it's changing in my heart, and I'm glad. I used to look forward to departing this life because I'm tired of sinning. And that is a bonus. I'll never sin again because I get rid of this sinful body. But the greatest reason is to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. That's the greatest encouragement. I want you to know this. Death is just this body. My spirit will go to be with the Lord, and I'll be able to be with Jesus for the rest of eternity. That's why I live. That's, if I remember that every day, then I'll remember this. I'm going to see Jesus. And then the final thing I want you to see is that our works will be judged. But before we get there, and you can go ahead and put that up there, Glenn, that's fine. But look at verse 9. Verse 9 leads us into verse 10, but I love verse 9. Look at this. He says, so we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor. So we're going to work. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Another word for accepted, if you would like, that we may please Jesus. I want you to know this. The purpose that a believer lives is to please Jesus Christ. You can ask that every day you put your head on your pillow at night. Did you please Jesus today? Jesus isn't difficult to please. We make Him seem difficult to please. We make it like Jesus is some, you know, ogre up in heaven that just, you know, all of your requirements. No, it's easy to please Jesus. It says in John 15, Jesus says this. He says, do you want joy that'll remain? You want joy that'll last? He says, abide in my love. That's pretty generic, isn't it? Abide in my love. Jesus knew it was generic, but He was saying this. If you abide in my love, then your joy will be full and your joy will remain. But abide in my love, you're like, wow, how do I do that? Jesus helps us with that. He says, if you abide in my love, you'll keep my commandments. Now remember this. We don't get to heaven because of our obedience. We only get to heaven through the righteousness of Christ. But do you as a believer, you as a follower, If your joy has kind of disappeared, if you're kind of discouraged, if you kind of are sour on life, if you're beginning to sour on the things of Christianity, if you're beginning to sour on life, I want to tell you, if you're a believer, it's because your joy has left. And what the Bible says, He says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. I'm convinced of this. We aren't to be commandment followers. So here's why I say that. We aren't to be people that walk around and say, here's the 27 rules that you have to follow today. You follow, hup, 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 hup. That's not the spirit we're supposed to have. But if you want to find out if you love Jesus, look at His commandments. If you say, I love Jesus, I could have a test. We could find out. Do you love Jesus? Are you following His commandments? He says this. He says, if you want your joy to remain full, abide in my love. He says, if you want to abide in my love, just keep my commandments. Understand, life isn't too difficult. If you left with one thing this morning here, Christian, here's what I want you to leave with. We live to please Him. We live to honor Him. We live to just, you know, there is a joy in serving the Lord. You know, and here's what I love. You know this, gang? Here's what I love. It's okay. I wanted you to enjoy Vacation Bible School this week. And you know what I believe? I believe it pleased Jesus. That should encourage you. You're tired. You worked hard. Not everybody appreciated what you did. The pastor hasn't even thanked you yet, that loser, right? Jesus saw it. Remember this, if you live to please me, I'm difficult. Jesus isn't. He saw it all. Doesn't that change the perspective? Why do we do Vacation Bible School? Oh, I love the kids. I want to reach the kids. I want to reach this neighborhood for Jesus Christ. I love people. It's just cool. We have this building, this property here to reach people. I love that. But you know, ultimately, it has more to do with the people. It's just this. Father, I want to please Jesus. And we live to please Jesus. And I hope that you can take great rest in this, that we live to please Him. Now, I'll finish with this, and I may go into this in a little bit more detail next week, because for sake of time, I won't go into this. But look at verse 10. For we must all, now this is to believers, remember this is to believers. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, see we're still talking about the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So, Paul's saying this, we live to please Jesus because there's coming a day where you and I are going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, does that shock you, Christian? I want to make sure you understand this. Every believer will be judged by Jesus Christ. Now, make sure you understand the distinction. There are two judgments in the Bible. One called the judgment seat of Christ, that's for Christians. One called the Great White Throne Judgment, that's in the book of Revelation, that's for the lost. Now understand this. If you are saved, saved from the punishment of your sin, saved from the wrath of God, you've truly followed and become a follower of Jesus Christ, you will not be judged for your sins. You understand that? But we will be judged for what we do for Christ after we're saved. We'll be judged for the good or the bad that we do in this body. We will not be judged for our sins. You understand that? Christian, listen to me. This is good news. My punishment for my sin, Jesus took on the cross of Calvary, and I never have to take that punishment because Jesus took my eternal hell. Jesus took my eternal punishment. That is the best news I could ever tell anybody. For someone that's lost, for someone that doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to take your punishment in eternal hell. But Christian, this may surprise you, the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe you've heard about it. I may go into it a little bit more next week. The judgment seat of Christ says this, Christian, you're going to stand before Jesus. I'm going to stand before Jesus. And Jesus is going to judge me for what I've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. It won't be judging me for my sin, but it's going to be judging me for what I've done for Jesus. That's a big deal. We don't think about that, right? And Paul says this first, we live to please Jesus. And here's the bonus, the benefit of pleasing Jesus, because one day we're all going to be judged. And there'll be rewards, or there'll be lack of rewards. I do believe we'll cast them all at Jesus because He deserves it all. But understand this, Christian, the Bible tells us this. This should encourage you. This ought to encourage the people that did a ton of work. There's details that people don't appreciate. And I'm looking at the walls right now, and they look good. Because we just painted the walls, and there was a whole bunch of tape on the walls. Right? And when I saw the decoration, I'm like, oh! That's okay. Remember the message I gave last night, Sunday night? I said, it's just the building. I'm talking to me more than probably you guys. Because I want us to take care of the building. But you know what I love? These ladies cared so much that, and I can't see, it looks awesome. I don't even know. Maybe there was no paint ripped off in here. But they went around. There was tons, huh? I can tell by your face. Or I can't read Marshan. Marshan's the hardest person in the world to read. And so, but she can smile, and you never know what that means. But let me tell you, it's the details. They went around, and they painted spots that I'll never appreciate that you painted. But if you're looking for my praise, it may come or it may not. But I want you to know this, Jesus never misses anything. You were tired yesterday. There are people here cleaning Friday night until after 11 o'clock. And man, they were whistling while they worked. And it was a beautiful thing. And I want to encourage you with this. Your body aches. It was funny, right? I mean, both Deb and I, Friday night, were like, oh man, I don't know what's wrong with my body. And so we were, you know, acting like we're 80. Leon just turned 80, you know. So, no, 80's the new 50, right? There you go. And so, you know, we were acting like we were just falling apart because we'd done a little extra work. The next time you're aching after you serve the Lord, my mother-in-law came up to me. I'll finish with this. It was just a couple weeks ago that I had preached, and that the purpose of our bodies is to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to be a shining light from these earthen vessels. And she began to tell me about her knee, and you know, she's just, you know, limping, and I, you know, she looked pathetic, and she began to tell me all that, and I said, well, you need to take it easy. And she looked at me and said, isn't that the opposite of what you just preached? And you know, I think as a pastor, I think I should encourage you not to overdo it. But one day, and I think we're getting to that point, and I love this, I want you to push me. I don't want to be a push pastor. I want you to pull me. I want you to love Jesus so much that you're not waiting on me to figure out the next way that we're going to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. I want you to help me. I want you to say, you know, my body's falling apart, but what else is my body for? I'm going to give it for Jesus. I'm just going to use it for Jesus. And because I want to please Him. And then one day, we will stand before our great Savior. And He says everything we've done in this body, whether good or whether bad, He will judge us for that. And you see, I believe that the whole spirit of the Bible is this. Our motivation shouldn't be the rewards. Even our motivation shouldn't be that we'll be judged. Our motivation should be that we love Jesus. The real question is, do we live to please Jesus? Or do we live to please ourselves? Let's pray.